Proverbs 3rd chapter. Go to the 31st verse. When you're ready, say, I'm with you. Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, 31st verse. Hey, amen. We're going to try that again. When you're ready, say, I'm with you. Okay, I think we're ready now. We're going to begin reading at the 31st verse. We're going to start on go. Ready, set, go. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. What is going to be your legacy? I don't know about you all, but I don't want shame to be mine. At this moment, we're going to have one of the ministers of the house that's going to give us a mighty word. And I pray that you buckle your seatbelts and you get ready for the word of the Lord. How many of you know we need a word? As I present to some and introduce to others, y'all give this man of God a hand clap of praise as he come. Minister Clarence.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wow, it's truly always an honor and a pleasure to stand before God's people. And I say it every time I come up here, I do not take it lightly to stand before God's people. I'm always nervous when I come before you because I never want to come up here without bringing a word from God. Amen. It's not about me. I never want to bring a word from the book of Clarence Parker. I always want to bring a word from God. And if you all pray with me, I will do so. Amen. Amen. Let us all stand and go before the throne room of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for yet another wonderful and marvelous day that you have created. God, we thank you for seeing fit to breathe the breath of life into our lungs, for allowing us to come into your house to give praise and worship unto you. Someone could not make it out of their bed on this morning. Someone did not cross out of their own threshold, but you saw fit that we could. Someone did not even open their eyes, but you saw fit that we did. So, Father, we say thank you. God, we ask that you touch us right now. Circumcise our ears that we may hear. Circumcise our hearts that we will receive. Circumcise our minds that we will apply. And circumcise our will that we will share with others. Father, decrease me. Move me out of the way, God. Bring forth a word that will touch our hearts, that will minister into our lives, that we will be better than when we came. Have your way in this house. There is healing that needs to take place on today, God. Bring it forth. There is deliverance that needs to take place on today, God. Bring it forth. Tear down every stronghold, every addiction that binds us right now, God. I'm asking you to come in this room, God. Move like only you can. Have your way, God. Not our will, but thy will be done. In the matchless, marvelous name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we say amen. Amen. In our pastor's absence, I want to tell him thank you for entrusting me It is an honor to my two beautiful daughters, Chloe and Riley, that God hath blessed me with, prayed for 13 years, and God saw fit to give them to us. To my niece, Demetia, we've taken a great part in raising her. To the apple of my eye, the woman that I have spent more than half of my life with, who brought forth out of her body my two beautiful children, who have put up with me when I was a knucklehead, who has helped pray for me, helped me to get to this point in life, my beautiful wife that I love dearly for 25 and a half, I gotta throw that half, and a half years, Miss Roshanda Clarence Parker. And I'm gonna ask my wife to come up here. See, I was gonna sing for y'all. You know, when anointing get on you, sometimes you think you can sing. But there's one problem with that. I only sing in two keys, Z sharp and Z flat. And Tracy ain't quite got how to play those keys yet. I'm gonna ask my beautiful wife to come on up here and render us a selection.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. After that, I don't think I can sing anything. I just want to, you know, bask in all the love. Amen. But God is good. Do y'all know God is good? All the time? And all the time God is? Amen. Amen. I don't know right now in my life where I am. I get teary-eyed a whole lot. I was like, Lord, is this a part of me growing older, growing wiser? Or am I just being a baby? I get teary-eyed a whole lot. Amen. Because when I think on the goodness of Jesus, when I just take a moment to just think on the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, amen, my soul cries out, just hallelujah, amen. Thank God for saving me. Thank God for keeping me. Amen. Thank God for hearing me. Thank God for your grace and for your mercy and for your outstretched hand. Amen. Anybody there with me today? Amen. Amen. God, we serve an awesome God. Amen. I know you told me to sing, but my spirit is just bubbling over. Because it doesn't matter what we go through in life. Amen. We can go through the hardest of the hardest, the roughest of the rough. We can go through some insurmountable things that we never thought that God would allow us to go through. But did you hear me say we go through it? Amen. It don't take us out, Sister Connie. Hallelujah. Thank God. And I just thank God. I believe we serve a God that he creates miracles. Amen. And it doesn't matter what it is. If we just look to Jesus, stop trying to look in other things to fulfill whatever it is that we need, because it's not going to do anything. At the end of the day, the problem going to still be there. The issue going to still be there. The situation going to still be there. Amen. But if we cast all of our cares, amen, if we cast all of our cares on him, he'll take them away. Amen. Amen, amen. I'm just going to sing the one song that I feel like that God blesses me to sing, but it's a song that is near and dear to my heart, because when I just want to get to the throne, I just go straight to that one song. And Sister Wanda, I ain't going to say she jinxed me. She said, "You singing today?" I was like, "Oh, yeah, amen." And so, but just pray for me. But as you pray for me, I want you to realize that this here song, listen to the words of the song. Amen. And I pray that it ministers to your heart. And I give honor and glory to God, who is the head of my life, and, you know, an absence for Pastor and Lady Yola. But this right here shows that it doesn't matter who's here. God is here. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, God is here. Amen. And miracles still happen. Amen. Amen. You deserve the glory and the honor, Lord, I lift my hands in worship as I praise your holy name. You deserve the glory and all of the honor. As I lift my hands in worship and I praise your holy name, you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Lift your hands. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name. For you deserve the glory and all of the honor. As we lift our hands in worship and we praise your holy name, for you're great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Father, you're great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. If you believe it, put your hands together. Amen, amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm so blessed, ain't I? She beautiful and can sing. Glory to God. Amen. I'm going to ask everybody to please stand, because there's a word from the Lord coming out of Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to start at the first verse. And when you have it, say, I'm ready, brother preacher. Glory to God. I only heard a third of y'all. All right, that's, and we are. We ready now. We ready to go. Glory to God. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up their hands so that you would not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. You may be seated. Now, prior to these events, Jesus had just been baptized by John. God had parted the heavens, shined his light on him, and made it known that he was well pleased in his son. Now, as I was studying this, I was picturing Jesus in my mind's eye. I was watching Jesus as he was leaving, and he was on a spiritual high. You know how sometimes we get during service, the anointing comes down on us, and we're just on a spiritual high. We're so happy. The birds are singing. The sun is shining. Everything is right in the world. And then we walk out that door, we get in our car, and we drive home, and it seems all hell breaks loose. We've spoken in tongues. Heaven has parted. God has touched down and scooped us up with his hand and wrapped us in his bosom. And we get outside, we drive home, we get there, and all hell breaks loose. Then we sit at home with all hell going on around us, and we say, why is this happening to me? Now, I want to tell you, if it happened to Jesus, why not you? Now, this is the Son of God, God's seed, the one he put down here for us. So if he's going to go through, why not you? Now, Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. Now, how many of us are being led by the Spirit? Now, that was a hype. I don't need an answer for that. I just want you to think. I don't want you to answer me. But how many of us are being led by the Spirit? Now, the problem is not being led by the Spirit. The problem is, what spirit are we being led by? There are a lot of spirits out there today that are leading us. But I want to ask you, what spirit are you being led by? Now, if we go to Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan, and was led by the Spirit. Now, Luke tells us he was full of the Holy Spirit. So that tells me if he's full of the Holy Spirit, he was led by the Holy Spirit. See, you can't be full of the Holy Spirit and led by other spirits. See, if you're being led by the spirit of Facebook, the spirit of alcohol, the spirit of lust, you're filled with those spirits. You can only be led by what you're filled with. See, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Hence and forth, he was led by the Spirit. Jesus had been baptized. He was getting ready to go to another level. He was being prepared for what was to come. So we need to stop running from the test and start running to the test. Let us go back to scripture real quick. It says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. So you've been in here, you've gotten on a spiritual high, and you were led into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And then you start turning around and trying to run from that test. Well, what you're doing is running away from your preparation. God has you going through this so that you can go to something. Now, one of the problems we have is we're being led by the wrong spirit. Now, Jesus was led into a spiritual situation in the natural, but with a God mind. Let me say that one more time. He was led into a spiritual situation in the natural, but with a God mind. See, the Holy Spirit led him into this spiritual warfare to fight with the devil. But he led him there in the natural. But Jesus entered it into natural with a God-like mind. See, when the devil came at him and he had started messing with him, attacking him, he did not fight him naturally. He fought him spiritually. Now, he was there naturally in the situation, but he was fighting the situation spiritually with the God mind. And I want to ask you, what mind are you working with? See, we have a lot of minds that we tend to use out here. We have the mind of Facebook. We got the mind of reality television. We got the mind of drugs and alcohol. Then we got the mind of God. And I want to know, what mind are you working with? See, when you go into a spiritual situation with the wrong mindset, you react the wrong way. That's why when people on a job are giving you problems and acting a fool, you tend to give them a piece of your mind. Now, the problem with that is that was the only little piece you had. When the kids are acting up in school, making bad grades, you didn't have to leave that job that you just gave somebody a piece of your mind at and not getting paid because little Junior done got suspended and you want to punch him in the throat. Now, there's nothing wrong with whooping your children. I believe in spanking your children because the Bible tells you spare a rod, spoil a child. But sometimes you can't just punch little Junior in his eye. He go to school with a black eye now. You can't break little Junior's ribs. You can't bloody his nose. He's only 8, y'all. See, you're moving with the wrong mind. When you're going through a situation and you're calling your girlfriends and your friends and your buddies and your homeboys and everybody to get advice on how to handle the situation. Yeah, man, this woman driving me crazy, man. Every time I come through the door, all she want to do is fuss. I'm sick of all this fussing, man. It's getting on my nerve. Man, what you think I ought to do? Man, come to the club with me. You're using the wrong mind. When you're at that job that you just gave somebody a little piece of your mind and hubby or wifey has been on your nerves all day, and here come this little fella. Hey, how you doing? You sure looking good today. Or you sitting there and a little lady come. Ooh, hey, Mike, how you? Ooh, you been working out, ain't you? And you say, yeah, baby, I've been bench pressing, got your chest up, about to pass out because you're holding in your gut. Yeah, I've been working out. They stroked your little ego, and there you are. The devil's, oh, I got him now. Tell her how good she look, man. You not looking too bad yourself. Tell her, y'all need to go to eat lunch tomorrow. So you get a little scared. You don't say it that day. A couple more times come around, next thing you know, why don't we go eat lunch tomorrow? There you are, moving with the wrong mind. Not being led by this head, but another piece of anatomy that I would not name. See, we have to be careful when we're moving with the wrong mind, because it's so easy for the devil to come and trick us. Now, in verse 8, he says, and again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. How many of y'all know y'all Bible? See, they know their Bible. See, how many of you know your Bible? What's wrong with that statement? Can anybody tell me what is wrong with that statement? I will give you everything you see. Now, my Bible tells me the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But see, if you're not moving with the right mind, you start believing that mess. Ooh, you're going to give me all that? That's going to be mine. You just fell for the okey-doke. Then next thing you know, you done bowed down and worshiped me. You in a whole lot of trouble. You done got yourself in a mess. You sure can't get out on your own. See, that's how we get messed up. I remember I almost got myself in some real serious trouble. I'm talking serious, you know. I'm talking federal trouble. And I told the Lord, I said, God, if you get me out of this, I promise you I ain't gonna ever do nothing like this. See, I work on I do computer work. I do design. And I was designing some things, you know, making me some money, you know, my little side hustle. The problem was I was designing the wrong things. I was making birth certificates, driver's license, high school and college diplomas. Man, I made an insurance policy so tough, they had to call the insurance company and find out if it was real. He talking about it looks like one of ours, but it's not a good policy number. I mean, I was doing, I make your insurance policy for $1,500, carry you through the whole year. Man, you cop pull you over, I'm good. Go on, sir. Man, I made a lady at the high school diploma. Man, she got a job off that joke. I was cold. I was tough. I was just the wrong kind of tough. And, you know, God puts people in your lives to help you. See, no matter what you go through, God is always going to put somebody in your life to help you. And a foolish person like me, you know, God protects babies and fools, and I wasn't a baby. He put a woman in my life named Margaret. That's my mama. That's the woman who birthed me. She had dreams and visions. She called me one day. She said, son, what are you doing? I said, I ain't doing nothing, mama. I'm just sitting there chickling. I said, no, son, what are you doing? I ain't doing nothing, mama. No, boy, I had a dream the FBI raided your house. Burning stuff in the fireplace, about to burn the house down. I'm shredding. I'm cleaning. Man, I'm doing everything. Trying to give it. And that, his, Lord, if you get me out of this, I promise I ain't going to do nothing. Crying. It's not new. I don't want to go to jail. I'm too pretty to go to jail, God. Bubba going to try to make me his girlfriend. I can't do that, God. So I did. I stopped. I cut it out. I was done. I wasn't doing no more. I cut it out. Done. I'm going to use this skill, this gift that God has given me for good. Dun, 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 super designer. Yeah, I mean, I was done with that. Somebody comes. Hey, what's up? Hey, Clarence, look here, man. Look. I need a college diploma. I don't do that no more. Now, look, man, I give you $2,000. Now, I had a bill that needed to be paid for $2,000. You know, when I get in trouble, that right leg start twitching. Oh, Lord. God said, go ahead. Do it if you want to. Go on. Go ahead. Go on. Go ahead. Go ahead. Nah. And I start seeing prison, Bubba, his girlfriend, me. Nah, it don't work. It don't work, Doc. Nah, it don't work. But see, when you're moving with the wrong mindset, the devil will trick you into thinking he got what you need. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. See, to get myself set right, I had to go to the word. I had to start hitting myself with the word. When the situation gets tight, I start putting the scripture on myself. Now, we make another mistake too. We start holding conversations with the devil. Clarence, come on, man. You know you need that money. Yeah, I know I do need it. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, count just this one time. You could do it this one time, then you're done. You ain't going to, you already said you ain't going to do it no more. Just this one time. That's all it takes. One time to be sitting behind bars. I'm like, I should have done that. But I had to start hitting myself with the word. And see, that's what Jesus did. He hit the devil with the word. And see, but now, you can't come back here talking to the devil jelly-backed. You got to speak with authority. You got to know who you are and whose you are. I am a child of the Most High God. Devil, flee from me. And when you speak with the power of God, he has to go. See, Jesus went through that to show us some 2,000 years later that we have everything we need. It's in the book. Whatever you need is there. It's in the book. And yeah, I'm not talking about Facebook. I'm not talking about the books that you find at the bookstore, them Harlequin's romance novels. Well, let me figure out how to deal with my man. I'm not talking about that little phone book you have. Well, let me find me a woman to help soothe my mind. I'm kind of troubled. Help settle me down a little bit. It's in the book, the Bible. We move around with the wrong mind, but we have to change our mindset. You know, I like to joke about my brother here, Bishop Gene. We call him Jesus' brother because he prays about everything. But you know what? That's not a bad thing. You'll never find that man caught moving in the wrong mind. You'll never find that man caught in a bad situation. When trouble comes his way, it won't last always. Because before he even got to trouble, he's been counseling God. Before trouble even peeked his head around the corner to come on his block, he's been talking with God. Let me see, where am I going to eat today? God, what should I eat today? You think that's crazy? No. Because he wanted to go here, and God said go there. Now, if he's obedient to God, he goes there, everything is beautiful. But if he goes here, he ends up walking into the middle of a robbery. A car may drive through the restaurant. Or a car may drive into his car. But because he was obedient, and he has a mind of God, and a mind to listen to God, he was in the right place at the right time and not the wrong place at the wrong time. You wonder how we end up in the wrong place at the wrong time? You're moving with the wrong mind. You know, this I talked to this lady about God. And she told me, she said, well, if there is a God, why does he let all these bad things happen to innocent people? Somebody just said in their mind, yeah, why? I'm glad you ask. Now, for anything that goes on in this world, in our life, God puts a person in place to help us through that situation. He always touches a person and gets them ready to go and to intercede. Now, one of the problems with that is that we have free will. And we choose not to do what God hath told us to do. We begin to move with the wrong mind. Situation in Columbine, I guarantee God had somebody there to help counteract that situation, but they chose not to do what they were supposed to do. And hence, this person does not get the help that they need, and they go and do something bad. You hear parents say all the time, I didn't know all this was going on in my house. Well, it was that parent's responsibility to know what was going on in that house. My mama knew every piece of clothing I had until I walked out her door. I remember I came home with my buddy. He gave me some. I was coming house, walk with him. I'm finna go in my room. Boy, come here. What's that? Some clothes. No. I ain't buy those. Where they come from? Oh, these Mike's clothes. Hold on, baby. Hold on. Hey, this boy up here with Mike's clothes. You said he could wear my clothes? Oh, yeah, it's okay. But see, she knew everything I was doing. So I couldn't sit in the garage and make bombs and have guns without my mama knowing something about it. I couldn't be in the garage making stuff without my daddy said, boy, what are you doing? Hold on, let me look at this. Have you lost your mind? Boy, don't you know I will break your neck? See, as parents, it is our job to raise, to lead, and to guide. And when we don't do our job, we send sick people out into a sick world to do sick things. You always hear somebody say, well, I didn't know he had all that. How did you not? Not in my roof. I mean, my daddy took the door off the hinge one time. I got to acting a fool. Oh, what, boy, wait a minute here. Now, let me see you do something now, boy. Now, we know we've been moving with the wrong mindset. How do we fix it? I'm glad you asked. First thing we got to do to change our mindset is to change what we are feeding our minds. I'm going to be transparent for y'all. I love watching television. Man, I love watching the television. I can sit down, I can watch the television. I mean, you put a car show on, I'm good. Sci-fi, I don't too much care for reality, but you put a car show on sci-fi, I'm good. But all the time I sit watching that mind-numbing television, feeding my mind the wrong things, I can spend feeding it good things. All this reality TV, who got who pregnant, who sleeping with who beat up who for sleeping with who because he like who and she like who, and who don't want to be with who because who like who. See, boy, that stuff is a mess. And then we don't understand the spiritual ramifications of what we're watching. See, the eyes and the ears are the gate to the soul. What you hear and what you see is what you're feeding your soul, man. So if all you're watching all day is about somebody sleeping with somebody, she sleeping with she, but she don't want to sleep with she because he like he, but he don't like she, you feeding yourself a bunch of mess. Then we wonder why we have these sexual demons, why we want to be promiscuous. Then we run around, we sleep with every Tom, Dick, Harry, Susie, Mary that we see, and then we get up, we all confused, we got split personalities. Do you know every time you sleep with someone, soul mingle, your soul ties? That's why we have so many split personalities now. People walk around here confused. Because we're mingling souls. Now you go sleep with this man right here. He done slept with 37 other people, and those 37 can add up to another 1,000. So you've just mingled with over 1,000 people. And then you wonder why you're confused. Your mind all messed up. Ooh, pretty flowers. See, some things we go through, we don't really need a therapist. We need deliverance. Some of the things that we're handling and we're wrestling with in life, we need deliverance. We need to change our mind. We need to change what we're feeding our mind. Garbage in, garbage out. What should we be feeding our mind? The Word. The Holy Word. The Word of God. the basic instructions before we leave this earth. When you start reading the word, a couple of things start to happen. One, you know what to do to fight the devil. Because it's in the word. That's why Jesus hit him with the word. Jesus didn't kick him. He didn't hit him. He didn't punch him. He didn't cuss him out. He hit him with the uncut, unadulterated word of God. When the devil sits beside you and starts talking to you, and he will usually talk to you at night when you're all by yourself. Man, somebody messed with you, I wouldn't take that out of him. You know what you ought to do next time you come in? Punch him in his face. Then you hear him say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So devil, flee from me. I command you in the name of Jesus. And see, that name has power. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall cease. That means he got to hush and he got to leave. Something else happens when we begin to read the word. We build our faith. See, we try to figure out why don't I believe God? I know God can do this. Your believing is not enough to build your faith. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's why we're walking around with Pinto faith with Mercedes-Benz beliefs. I want a Mercedes-Benz. I want a Mercedes-Benz. God, give me a Mercedes-Benz. God, give me. Yeah, you got the Mercedes-Benz belief, but you got Pinto faith. When was the last time you read your word? Can I give y'all a little secret? I ain't going to let the rest of the world know this, but I'm going to tell y'all. Anything you want to know about is in the Bible. I'm going to be transparent before y'all again. You know why I started really studying the Bible? Some 15, 20 years why I really started, because I couldn't read the Bible. Every time I read, I'd go to sleep. But you know why I started reading the Bible? I found out all that stuff that's on TV, the drugs, the sex, the murder, it's in the Bible. Boy, when I found it out, I was like, oh, God, man, this in the Bible? Whoa, man, you kidding me? Y'all don't believe me? Hold on, okay, come in. Hosea, come here, come talk to me, Hosea. Tell him what went on. Yeah, my name Hosea. God had me to marry Gomer, who was a prostitute. I took her, cleaned her up. I have money. I put her in my house. And you know what she did? She left and went right back to prostitute. I couldn't even divorce her. God told me, go get her, clean her up, and bring her back in. She did it two more times after that. See, y'all didn't believe me. They still don't believe me. Hold on. David, come here, David. Come here, David. Hi, my name is David. I'm the king of Israel. And while my men was in battle, I went off and slept with one of my soldiers' wife and got her pregnant. She was, woo, man. But she was bad, though, y'all. She was bad. She had long, pretty hair. And she was sitting on the top of the roof bathing, and I looked up, and I just got excited. Oh, she was looking so good. I couldn't help it. It wasn't my fault. I didn't mean to get her pregnant. Then I got in trouble. When I found out she was pregnant, I had to have her husband killed because I couldn't have that, y'all. It's in the Bible. My brother said, call one more. This is the last one. I'm going to call one more. Now, there are these men standing outside the house, and they telling him, hey, Lot, send those men out here. Send them out here. We want them. No. What y'all want them for? I got daughters in here. No, but we don't like them. We like him. We want him. See, y'all didn't even know homosexuality was in the Bible. Come on, but see, I'm telling y'all, that's why I started reading it. And then a byproduct happened off of that. I began to feed my mind the right stuff. As I was learning about Cain and Abel, how he killed his brother, I learned that I should be my brother's keeper. I should look after him no matter what goes on. I should have his back. I should look out for him. Hey, when he has a problem, he can call me. When I got a problem, I can call him. You know what I found out? learned how to truly love my wife. I learned she was my queen. I learned she was the greatest gift God gave me. And I should cherish her. I should cover her. I should protect her. I shouldn't let nothing happen. You know something? At my house, I'm the priest. I'm the provider. I'm the protector. Now, y'all cheering. That's heavy. See, you don't understand what it means to be the priest, the provider, and the protector. Everything that goes good is her fault. Everything that goes bad is my fault. If anything bad happens in that house, it's my fault. Because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I wasn't in my rightful place as a man of God to counteract it. If somebody gonna break in, I should say it already and be ready for it. We walking around here with the wrong mind. We got to get a mind of Christ. When I see a man blaming his wife for something, boy, I had to pray because I want to just. See, when you walking with a God mind, you don't care if bad things are blamed on you. Because you're going to do everything in your will and your power of God to make sure only good things happen. My wife and I, we had been married. We had been married about 4 years. We were clean. We had went out one night. We went to the restaurant and went to the movies. We were clean. Gold on. I mean, I'm blinging. I was looking good, just good like I look right now. I was looking good, real good. I was looking good. My wife was looking good. See how good she looks? She was looking good. Had our jewelry on. Ooh, we were looking. We were both looking good. Come here, stand over with me. Come here, real quick. Come here, real quick, quick. We were looking good. So. We looking good. We get ready to go to the car. We had 8. We were feeling good. Oh, man, we was good. We was on cloud 9. God said, get to the car. Get in it quick. Baby, get in the car. Baby, get in the car. What? Why are you fussing at me? Go get your hotel in the car. You fussing at me. Do you see them men? They were getting ready to rob us. See, that's what I mean by being in your rightful place. See, I was in a place where I could hear God. Because had I not heard from God, there's a possibility I may not be here today. See, there's nothing that happens that God will not prepare you or warn you of. Somebody out there talking about, but it don't work for me. Okay, now, but you know what? That takes me into number 2. Number 2, we have to change our habits. I like to go sit down and watch the television. It is habitual. It's a habit. Without even knowing it, I will go and sit down and plop that remote control and go, boop. I have to change that habit so that when I decide I want to go and sit in front of that television and just have mind-numbing nothingness, I should go pray. The reason why we do not hear from God is because we do not have a relationship with Him. Call my name. See, so somebody else called, but that wasn't my wife's voice. I have a relationship with her, so I know her voice. I don't have to say, my love, was that you? I know her voice because I have a relationship with her. See, we don't know God's voice because we do not have a relationship with Him. You know the people you talk to all the time. You know the people you have a relationship. You can wake me up out of my sleep and she calls me. I will know her voice. I was in bed sleeping, I guess it's about a couple of months ago, and I heard a noise. oh, who in my house? I'm going to take them down. And my wife said, baby, I stopped instantly. She said, that was Chloe. I said, oh, okay. Ooh, yeah. All right, yeah. But I woke up out of a still sleep because I heard a noise. I'm the priest, so I got to go. I got to go protect. I was in protect mode. And she yelled my name, Clint. I mean, I stopped just like that. Because I know her voice. See, when you pray, you develop that relationship with God. You don't have to run to every prayer meeting in Houston to get a word from God. See, that's one of our problems too. We running all over Houston trying to get a word from God, trying to get a word of prophecy, and we getting prophesied instead of somebody prophesy. But when you had a relationship with God, someone can tell you anything and you are here. Oh, that ain't God's voice. This brother spoke to me, and I heard God's voice in his voice. Minister Albert Abu spoke to me, and I heard God's voice in his voice. Even when it's a word of correction, you can hear God's voice. Now, hopefully you're working with the right mind so you can take heed to his voice. His voice will come from a little baby. My eldest daughter gave me a word. Now, I'm her daddy. I'm raising her. I'm teaching her. I had to put my pride down and say, okay, God. I hear you. Because God will use whom he wants to. Stop trying to put people beneath you. How you gonna speak to me? You ain't even a minister. You barely won yourself. We walk around with these titles. Yes, I'm Bishop, Brother, Pastor, Deacon, Dr. Doolittle. He's like, do very little. Titles are just that. It's just to please your flesh. But what are you doing? What fruit are you bringing forth? How many people have you led to Jesus? How many people have you even talked to about Jesus? When was the last time you even spoke his name? First, we got to feed our minds the right thing. Next, we need to change our habits. And when you change your habits, the next thing you need to do is change your environment. Do you know why many crack addicts end up going back on crack? Same environment. They're hanging with people who do crack. You hang with dogs, you get up with fleas. You run with a drug dealer, you may end up using or selling. Run with a liar, before you know it, you're going to end up lying. Become good at it too. Lie so well, you be believing it. Wait a minute, I said it. I went grocery shopping. But ain't no groceries in my house. When did I go grocery shopping? Stop hanging with people that are doing things that you should not do. When I first got married, I made a big mistake, man. I was hanging with a single guy. Married men cannot hang with single guys. Somebody said, why not? I'm glad you asked. Because a single man does not know what it means to be married. We have an agreement. Even back when we were not saved, we didn't close the club. And we went out separate. I was home before 2 o'clock. because it's a respect thing. It's what we establish. So I'm hanging with a single guy. I ride with him. He don't want to come home. I got a curfew. Yeah. See, look at her. See? It's okay, baby. That happened over 20 years ago. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. Don't stop cooking. Don't close paradise. I had a curfew. And here I come creeping in the house 2 o'clock in the morning looking like a bruised turd. Now she mad. I lost 5 pounds. That woman ain't cooked for 3 days. Hurt more than just my feelings. But I learned, don't hang with single men. And also, don't accept advice from people who are not in a better place than you. That same dude was trying to give me advice on how to deal with my wife. And I had the wrong mind. I took heed to it. I did it. I almost lost my marriage. I wanted to kick him in the head after I kicked myself for listening to him. I don't go to people for advice who's not in a better place than me. I'm going to be a millionaire. So I don't ask a 100-naire how to be a millionaire. I don't even ask a 1,000-naire how to be a millionaire. I go to millionaires. I talk to them because I'm not a 1,000-naire. How do I become a millionaire? Well, you go and do this, and then the result is all I learned to be is a 1,000-naire. Because that's all he knows. I don't ask someone who's been married 5 years how to be married because I've been married 25 years. What can he really tell me? He hasn't been through the things that I've been through. How you change. Both of you change, but you have to change together. You have to grow. The way you were when you got in year one, you're not that same in year 7. And a lot of marriages fail because you don't alter and adjust and learn each other. Because you got to learn each other all over again. And having kids when you first get married is hard. It's tough because your roughest time is that first 2-3 years. Then you're a couple, a kid with that makes it a little tougher. It's not that you can't get through it. It's just hard. So, you know, I go to people who can show me and tell me and teach me things. That's why when I have, I can talk to these brothers spiritually because they're here. I don't go to a babe in Christ. How do I handle this spiritual situation? They can counsel me. They can talk to me. They can teach me. They might know, matter of fact, they know the word better than I do. So they can get some word and beat me with the word. Get me to where I need to be. We have been given all the tools we need to be successful in this world. The problem is we choose not to use them. We're too lazy to use them. We don't read the word. We're not fasting. We're not praying. The word is your knowledge. It helps you to be able to fight against the enemy. It helps you to encourage yourself. Your prayer is your relationship with God. It's how you learn to hear his voice, and he can give you what you want. Also, when you're reading that word and your faith is getting stronger, you can believe the word. When the Bible tells us, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and by no means shall they hurt you. You can believe that. And you can walk through that. When the Bible tells you, neither have I seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. You can believe that and know that there's nothing that God won't do for you. But you got to have that faith. And you got to have the right mindset. When the storms come upon you, you'll be able to weather the storm and not faint. And even if you do fall, you can get back up. Like Donald McClurk said, we can get back up again. That's that key of Z I was talking about. But we got to get in that word. We got to pray. We got to fast so that we can have the strength that we need to weather the storm. And the storms are going to come. I'm dealing with one of the biggest storms I've ever dealt with in my life. My mom is sick. And I mean, boy, it's been on. In a rehabilitation center. On Monday, she fell and cut her finger deep. Had to get stitches. I had the wrong mind. I'm beyond it. My mind was wrong. I wanted to go fight, y'all. I wanted to fight. I ain't gonna lie. I had to repent. God forgive me. I'm sorry. I wanted to fight. I didn't want to talk to nobody. I wanted to go throw some fisticuffs. But I had to repent and do a minute little adjustment. Meaning I had to adjust my mind. And then we went to the home and we sat and we talked with the administrative staff to find out what went on and what we need to do to prevent this from happening again. But had I stuck with that bad mindset, I'd have went in there fighting and hurt someone and got myself put in jail and truly became Bubba's girlfriend. Y'all got to understand. That's the reason why I ain't do nothing real, real bad. I didn't sell drugs because I was afraid to go to jail, y'all. I mean, I am too handsome to go to jail. Don't I look good? No, it's not. But I had to do a mind adjustment, get my mind right. And I had to pray and go into the word. For we know all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And it is true, because you know what? We learned something. We learned there were documents that we need to have in place to protect my mother. We learned there were meetings we need to have because she's getting ready to move to another facility. But soon as she get there, we need to have meetings to have things established. See, we didn't do that. We didn't have things set in place. So we learned so we could prevent these things from happening again. But had I walked in there with that ignorant mindset of wanting to fight and not listen, I would not have learned anything. I just would have made things worse for my mom. So we got to keep that mind right. Because when you move with the wrong mind, you make things all bad. My wife and I, we were married. We had been married a little while. And one of the friends called us and said, "Ooh, girl, I saw Clarence at the motel with another woman." Now, had her mind not been right, hot grease grits, hot water, not cooking, sleeping on the couch. But she stopped and she thought about it. And then she went and recollect back. I was with her on that night. But you got to have your mind right, because the devil will attack you. He will tell you all kinds of things. Came and told me, "You know they about to write you up. You finna lose this job." And I got nervous. "Oh, Lord, golly, they finna fire me. I need this little piece of job." Then I had the Holy Spirit and speak, say, "What are you listening to?" "Oh, wait a minute, hold on. That wasn't God's voice." Find out everything has worked beautiful. Nobody else got a raise, but I did. See, you watch your mind. Recognize the voices that are speaking to you. That's why you got to have a strong prayer life. Because believe me, the devil is going to talk to you. I don't care who you are. He will try to talk to you. Don't hold no conversations with him. Hit him with the word. You hit him with the word. Because he's going to run. Put the name of Jesus on it. Don't play with him. Don't play Kate. Change what you're feeding your mind. Change your habits. change your environment. Get your mind right. And I promise you, there's nothing you can't do